Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's say that again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The title of our message this Easter day is Breaking the Jaws of Death. Quite a picture Ewald put up on the PowerPoint screen. We'll be talking more about that just in a moment. I invite you to turn your worship folder over and find there, or maybe it's an insert today. Is it an insert? The sermon outline, yellow insert, as we consider our theme, Breaking the Jaws of Death. Based on John 11, these words. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Well, I'll never forget the day that my father, Earl Harold, died. I knew the day was approaching, but when my mother phoned me long distance from Spokane, Washington, where I was still a seminary professor in Edmonton, Alberta, the news was difficult to receive. This was my daddy. This was my papa. This was the man who taught me how to milk the cows on the dairy farm. Taught me how to do that job as well. The man who bought me my first baseball glove and taught me how to play the game. The man who went to countless of my Little League and American Legion baseball games to watch me play, but sadly never was able to go watch me play when I went away to college to play it in the States. The man who was so proud of me when I became a pastor, a seminary professor, so proud of his grandchildren. This was my dad who hugged and kissed me right on the lips and me him even after I became a man with no shame at all. When I got my mother's phone call, I drove the 12 hours from Edmonton to Spokane to the funeral home there. And there I stood over my dad's lifeless body in a small room. And I stroked his forehead and I kissed his forehead one last time and said, I love you, Dad. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for teaching me the love of the best game, baseball. And I still have my ball glove, Dad. Thank you for encouraging me to become a pastor. Dad, I'll see you again. I held my tears till I left the room, but when I left that room, I wept. My dad was dead. Death stinks. Death is terrible. I hate death. Why are you here today? Could be a number of reasons. Got to make the wife happy. Parents want me to be here. Oh, maybe the sermon will be entertaining. If I come, I get a nice meal. Why are you here today? I don't know why you're here, but I'm here to tell you this as clearly as I can, as clearly as God gives me strength. Death does not have the last word. Today on Easter Sunday, we've gathered to thumb our noses at death. We're gathered because our Lord Jesus Christ has won the victory over sin and death and hell. But to fully realize Jesus' victory over death, we have to stare death right in the face, eye to eye, and realize its reality and all of its terribleness. And this brings us to the sermon title, Breaking the Jaws of Death. It came actually from a TV news program I watched shortly after my father died. It was a TV program about a certain breed of dog called a pit bull. This breed has one very unusual characteristic. When it fights and it bites, its bite is so fierce and so strong that whoever or whatever it bites, sometimes that animal's jaw has to be broken to release its death grip on them. The pit bull will simply not let go of its grip. Its jaw has to be broken to release its death grip. Wow. I recall thinking to myself when I saw that show, if I had a dog, one of those dogs, I'd have the perfect name for it. I would call it death. Now talk about a permanent grip on us and our inability to get rid of that grip. No matter how hard the doctor or my family tried, there was no way we could loosen death's grip on my father. And my friends, I hope you're here today to take a look at reality in the face, because the truth is, death has its grip on you and me as well. Oh, we try to soften death. We don't like to say someone's died. We say, oh, they've passed away. They're resting in peace. Baloney, they've died. And some try to laugh at death. The comedian and actor from years ago, Woody Allen, who, by the way, nervously spoke of death in many of his movies, he must have been pretty afraid. He joked and said this, and I quote, "It's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." But death is real. And once its jaws tighten, it doesn't let go. In my estimation, one of the most stirring poems in the English language is a poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson called The Charge of the Light Brigade. It's about a hopeless military battle in which 600 soldiers mounted on horses charge hopelessly into amazing cannon fire. One line from this poem is especially haunting. It says, "Into the jaws of death rode the 600. The jaws of death are firm and final. The first mention of death in the Holy Bible is Genesis chapter 2, and it's a prediction. Almighty God warns Adam and Eve of the possibility of death. He says this, "From any tree of the garden you may eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat of it, that day you shall surely die." We could call this the first prophecy in the Bible. The day you sin, God says, you'll die. When sin comes, death comes. The book of Romans puts it this way in chapter 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." What Adam and Eve's rebellion began, we continue in to this day, sin and death. And in 3:23, the book of Romans says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Yes, we have fallen, and we can't get up. We can't escape the jaws of death. Let me tell you, we can't escape it. The very night I was at home on a Thursday night some weeks ago writing this sermon, I had just penned, or I should say typed, this last phrase, "We can't escape the jaws of death." And then I got two phone calls back to back within 2 minutes of each other announcing somebody's death. There I was trying to write a sermon about death, and two death notices interrupted me. Damn you, death! Is there no escape? Is there no escape from your jaws? In one of the oldest books of the Bible, the book of Job, the suffering Job cries out to God. I quote Job 14:14, "O Lord, if a man dies, will he live again?" In the midst of his suffering, Job turns to God and says, "Okay, God, give it to me straight. If this suffering kills me, will I live again? Is this suffering and death in this horrible thing we call life all there is?" Now, I told you at the outset of today's sermon, we were going to stare death eye to eye and come face to face with it. Have you had enough? Are you ready for some good news? I sure am. Are you ready to break the jaws of death? In Christ's name, let's get to it. Let's address Job's ancient question. If a man dies, will he live again? In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, our dear Lord Jesus provides a very personal answer to Job's question. Now, the setting is different, but the situation is the same, death in a grave. In the tiny village of Bethany, just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, lived three of Jesus' closest friends, two sisters named Mary and Martha, and their brother named Lazarus. One day, Jesus receives news from a messenger that Lazarus is close to death. By the way, tomorrow morning, Beverly and I are driving again to Spokane to see my elderly mother. My stepfather is that close to passing from this life to the next. I ask that you would pray that we could make it there in time to kiss him and say our goodbyes to him. But Jesus received a message that Lazarus was close to death. Could he hurry and come to Bethany? I read to you from John chapter 11. When Jesus heard the news, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but it will be for the glory of God." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that Lazarus was sick, listen carefully, Jesus stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus doesn't drop everything and rush to their home. He waits 2 more days and he says, "You wait, this will bring glory to God." Well, Lazarus dies and his sisters have to wait. And they're waiting in grief. You know, too often today, we don't want to deal with pain and death. Let's just hurry up, skip the grave, get the happy thoughts of heaven. Let's don't face pain and grief. But Mary and Martha had to wait. Jesus finally makes it to Bethany and is on his road on the way there. But Martha confronts him on the road, and we read in John chapter 11, Martha therefore said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Basically, what was she saying? She was saying, "Lord Jesus, it's your fault my brother died. Where were you when we needed you if you were here? But you delayed." And now comes one of the most important dialogues in the whole Bible. I read from John 11. Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never really die. Do you believe this?" Martha says, "Jesus, don't give me a theological lecture. I know on Judgment Day my brother will be included, but I want my baby brother here and now." Jesus replies, "I am the resurrection and the life." He says, "Martha, look at me. Look at me. I am Almighty God in human flesh. I have the powers over death and the grave. I have broken the jaws of death." Soon, Mary joins in the conversation. But Mary is so overcome with grief that she fell at Jesus' feet. Have you ever been so overcome with grief that you just fall down or throw yourself on the bed? Mary was so overcome with grief, she fell at Jesus' feet. Remember, Mary and Martha are Jesus' closest friends. We read in John chapter 11, when Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And the text says, Jesus wept. John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the whole Bible. It's just 2 words. 2 words that show us the very heart of God and how he feels about you when you suffer and you are in pain. All the scripture says was Jesus wept. Jesus Christ, the great conqueror of death, was grieved by death's reality and power. But not for long. What great good news for you and me, when Jesus says, shortly after weeping, when Jesus stared death right in the face and broke the ugly jaws of death. Listen to the text. Jesus came to the tomb, a tomb with a stone lying against it. Jesus said, remove that stone. But Martha said to him, Lord, by this time there'll be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said, I told you you'd see the glory of God. So they removed the stone. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! He who died came forth, bound hand and foot. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. How would you have liked to have had a front row seat to that event? Can you imagine being Mary and Martha as their baby brother, their young brother, walked out of that tomb alive? Can you imagine the smile on Jesus' lips and the twinkle in his eye as he resisted every temptation and he didn't say, I told you you'd see the glory of God? The jaws of death were broken by the one who has power over death and the grave. And certainly as John the Gospel writer wrote this event of Lazarus rising from the grave, he was telling you and me today, you think this was something. This is just an appetizer. The main course is coming soon when Christ will rise. And the victory he won on Easter Sunday, he won to give you the same gift he gave Lazarus, victory over the grave. Lazarus was the appetizer. Easter was the main course. When Jesus burst forth from his tomb and rose on that first Easter Sunday, he broke the jaws of death for you and me. He fulfilled the words he spoke to Mary and Martha, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You know, I love what I heard an old country pastor say once at a country church cemetery. We don't have those much in this urban area, but back on the prairies, many churches, and ours included, had our own cemetery. This old country preacher said this at the graveside one day to a group of faithful people. As the casket of their beloved mother, a faithful Christian woman, was being lowered into the grave, here's what he said. My friends, it's okay to weep today. One day Jesus wept at a graveside. But all of you should also understand this. Today we are standing on resurrection ground. This grave does not have the last word. It cannot hold your loved one who has died in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Death does not have the last word. Remember earlier we were talking about Job and his question, if a man dies, will he live again? Well, Job found out the answer to that question. And he found out that answer to the question in the same way you and I find it out today. The power of God's holy word revealed it to him and planted it in his heart. In Job chapter 19, listen to Job's confession of faith. The confession of faith that we will sing, by the way, as the last hymn in our service of worship this morning. Listen to what Job wrote. Job 19:25. And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last day he will take his stand, and though my flesh be destroyed, I shall see my God, I shall behold him with my own eyes. From this verse of Holy Scripture, we get what some people consider to be the most famous and most powerful of all Easter hymns. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I've sung that hymn many times over the years as a pastor, but I remember a particular midweek when I sang it and it brought me to tears. I was attending the funeral of a young man in my home congregation in Edmonton. I wasn't the pastor of that church. At that time, I was teaching at the seminary. Although I wasn't conducting the service, I was sitting in the front row right next to the young widow in her late 20s, her husband who passed away. It's the custom in most Christian funerals that the whole congregation sits during the whole service. But when this hymn was sung at the end of that service, that young widow stood up to sing, because she stood, I stood, and the whole congregation sang. And as she sang the verses of this hymn, she sang with faith, but also with tears of sorrow. Today, I can't just speak these words to you. I need to sing to you just a portion of this hymn. You all will sing it much better than I can at the end of the service. But listen to these words. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives, he lives, who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives all glory to his name. He lives my Jesus still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. You know that old pit bull of death? He's been defeated. Please repeat after me, Jesus has broken the jaws of death. One more time. Jesus has broken the jaws of death. Blessed Easter to you. In the name of Jesus, who broke the jaws of death. Amen.